WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Poland says several Russian drones entered its airspace and were shot down over its territory. Poland describes the incident as an act of aggression. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
It comes less than a week after Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to China, showing unity with leaders of China and North Korea. Since that meeting, Russia has staged its largest aerial attack on Ukraine since the war began.
Several European leaders say they think Russia is intentionally escalating the war with Ukraine. The European Union Commission president says she will seek sanctions and a partial trade suspension against Israel over the war in Gaza. Israel, meantime, insisting it had the right to target Hamas leaders in Doha, Qatar. Qatar says it was a violation of international law. The move has drawn widespread condemnation and risks upending ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas. The Supreme Court says it will hear arguments over whether most of the Trump tariffs can remain in place in early November. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The latest announcement about a run for governor comes from southeastern Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Milwaukee County executive is attempting to appeal to the rest of the state in his campaign announcement video posted this morning.
To the single mom in Eau Claire looking for affordable, dependable child care, I hear you. To the union worker in Sheboygan taking an extra shift today to make the end of the month a little bit easier, I see you. To the dad in Platteville working towards your degree after tucking your kids in good nights, I am you. I'm David Crowley, and I'm running to be governor for all of us. Wisconsin, let's get to work.
David Crowley formally announced his run for governor, becoming the third Democrat to join the race following Governor Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term. Crowley released a campaign video connecting his own experience with hardship as a child to the struggles many families still face today.
That boy who was homeless is a homeowner, where my wife Erica and I are raising our three daughters. My story is not unique. My story is Wisconsin's story.
Crowley says he's had success in job creation, cutting carbon emissions, and property tax relief while advocating for greater local government funding. Crowley took aim at Republicans and President Donald Trump, saying their leadership has brought chaos and division to the state. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Ryan Sternad in competing for the Democratic nomination. Republicans Josh Shulman and Bill Berrien have officially declared their bids. Republican Representative Tom Tiffany is expected to announce soon. The primary election will be held in August, with November's general election deciding the next governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Republican state lawmakers began circulating legislation aimed at eliminating state income tax on overtime earnings last week. The proposed bill would create a state income tax subtraction for overtime earnings. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers wrap it up in Texas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 3 of the Brewers-Rangers series today in Arlington. Milwaukee losing again last night, this time 5-4. The Rangers rookie Michael Helman, the star again, with a leaping catch over the outfield fence to deny Bryce Terang a home run. And then he went out and hit his own two-run homer in his next at-bat. The Brewers have reactivated Rhys Hoskins after missing 57 games with an injured thumb. NFL, the Packers signing wide receiver Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth $13 million. Watson suffering a torn ACL early January against the Bears, expected back later this season. The Packers play the Commanders tomorrow night at Lambeau Field. Kickoff 7:15. Offensive tackle Zach Tom and guard Aaron Banks, both questionable for the game. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers played Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Kickoff 11 a.m. It looks like Danny O'Neill will again start at quarterback. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog early, along with a spotty shower or two. Otherwise, you can expect increasing sunshine with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s, sunny and summery on Thursday with a high of 79. It's 58 at our studios.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoon from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'm joined by former ambassador and former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We discuss why the Epstein files matter more broadly for government accountability.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, September 10th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app, or on social media, or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Do you make a casserole with tater tots? I mean, I've made casseroles before, but I finally crossed a threshold in the use of tater tots, and it has more to do with my love of my cast iron skillets than anything else, but we'll get into food talk coming up in just a bit. But I feel like I've either crossed some kind of a boundary in my kitchen or with my age that I'm now using tater tots in my casserole. All right, and much more important news coming up later in the show. We're going to talk live with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, the most recent candidate to get into the 2026 race for Wisconsin governor. We'll talk about his decision to run and what he wants voters to know about his experience and his positions as the field grows a little bit larger and more candidates yet to be expected to run for the governor's post next year, with Tony Evers not running for a third term. In this hour, well, Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things. It's already well documented that Derek Van Orden spends a lot of time scrolling and trolling through social media, but even by his standards, it was weird that he put a new comment on a photo from a post from 2 years ago. Even weirder, the photo he commented on shows him on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021, and the comment he put was, "Hell yes." Now, Van Orden claims he did not take part in the domestic terrorism that followed on that fateful day, but really, is it that much better to simply be a spectator to a treasonous mob after deciding he would fly there to support a knowingly false claim about the 2020 election? And oh, wait, there's more. Wait till you hear what he had to say yesterday about the Epstein files case. Also, one of the biggest billion-dollar surprises in Wisconsin, I think, would be if you were to find out how many taxpayers have no idea how much public tax money is going to the private school voucher scheme. It's more than $700 million this year, and it is getting close to that 10-digit annual payout. And we'll tell you how a group is launching a transparency campaign to build public awareness before this program swallows up more of the state budget and skims even more resources away from our neighborhood schools. We'll have a guest from Clean Wisconsin on how all those massive new data centers are sucking up groundwater wherever they pop up. That might be good for all these servers and their artificial intelligence, but not so good for the neighbors whose wells have run dry. So all of that ahead between now and 9 a.m. And if you can't stick around for all of it, That's why we got a podcast version of this program as well. You skip the commercials and everything else. So head over to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and become a subscriber and catch everything that we are working on. Let's look at the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who will be here less than an hour from now. She says better weather is around the corner, cranking up the humidity and the temperatures for the weekend. So summer will make a return. And I guess you could say tomorrow, roughly, is when summer comes back for a spell. I don't know how long. It looks like, you know, a good week or so of summer-like weather is coming back. For today, however, isolated showers to start the day, then more spots of sun later on. Highs will be in the upper 60s up north to the mid-70s south with a light southeasterly wind. For tonight, mixed skies and mild, Brittany says. Lows tonight around 50 up north, 55 to the south, with a light wind out of the east. Right now, it is 59 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, and just pleasant as all get out. What do you say we check the conditions in Madison? Head down to Madison Studio A2 at Civic Media's Global HQ at the top of State Street, one block off the Capitol Square, where Parker Olson's camouflaged. There's a Civic Media banner behind him. I think that's a Civic Media t-shirt he's wearing. I can't see him with all the Civic Media logos around.
I'm everywhere. You can't find me.
Yeah, I can hear you, though. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty well, Pat. It's nice-ish, I think. It felt nice when I walked out the door, but I was not out the door for very long because I woke up very late today and got up, dressed, and to work in about 25 minutes, half an hour.
Who doesn't love that routine when you wake up and realize, oh no, mm-hmm. it's time for the speed round mm-hmm. of getting ready. I feel very fortunate, knock on some wood here. I have not had to do that yet for this particular, show, but there have been plenty of times in the past where you just kind of open your eyes, and especially if both spouses forget to set an alarm and eventually one wakes up and you hear the other one going, oh no. You're shooting out of bed and flying around to get ready. Tony asks on YouTube, is it because you stayed up late listening to Stacey Abrams and Madison last night for Cap Time's Idea Fest?
I should have. That's a better idea than what I did, because I just watched the Brewers lose.
Oh yeah, no, that wasn't pleasant at all. We'll get to that in just a bit. So what did the alarm go off, or was the alarm just not set?
Oh, the alarm went off. There's four alarms, Pat.
Oh, this is a four-alarm job that you have. This is great.
Yes. There are contingency plans, and those contingencies did not work. And thankfully, I'm too anxious to miss work to miss all work. Right. So,
see, anxiety, you can use it to the good. So, yeah, you got that going.
Got for my you. Stamp of approval,
which is nice. Well, let's see. I already connected with some folks here on YouTube. Michael saying tater tot casserole is the best. I made it last night, he says. Tony says, I love tater tot casserole. So there you go. The story on that is there was a block party here. And then we did not know if we were going to go to it or not in our neighborhood. And as you know, we ended up going out of town to visit some friends. But I had all the ingredients just in case. And for this particular gathering, I thought, well, let's make some kind of a casserole. Then I realized when I make something, it's usually like pasta based, like some elbow macaroni or, noodles or whatever. And the whole reason I've never used tater tots is because it sounds like too cliche. Like that's what every Midwesterner does, is they put the tater tots and then they put the green beans in there and all that. I'm just I don't want to do that.
It's very stereotypical.
What I found was basically a cheesy, cheeseburger casserole with tater tots.
Ooh.
So it was ground beef and cream of mushroom soup, and then just the right combination of spices, and then some sharp cheddar cheese. That to me made all the difference.
Yeah.
And then throw the tater tots on top, throw it all in a big old cast iron skillet, and put that thing in the oven. And oh man, when you think tater tot casserole, what do you think? You think bland, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm not saying this was spicy. I'm just saying it was the recipe I found online.
That sharp cheddar really got you.
The sharp cheddar really does it. No, that and the other spices. Speaking of the skillet, Tony asks, did Pat make shepherd's pie last weekend? No, I did not. I know I said I was going to. And like I said, plans changed. But there will be before too long. Yep. Roger on Facebook writes from Stevens Point, a tater tot casserole isn't a tater tot casserole until it includes the second ingredient, cream of mushroom soup. Yes, that's very true.
So you passed, Pat.
So yeah, I had that. I just went with the, you know, the ground beef and the extra sharp cheddar, the secret ingredient.
Very important.
I love that. This is also new to Parker. Like, oh God, he's talking about cream of mushroom soup and tater tots.
But yeah.
There are other things I could be talking about.
This is true. I would rather hear this than DVO talk.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Derek Van Orden and what all he had to say recently coming up before long. But I suppose we better get back to the Brewers game from yesterday. But let me take you all the way back to May 19th.
Oh,
when Michael Hellman was just a sad little rookie who'd been put on waivers by Pittsburgh and picked up by the Texas Rangers. Michael Hellman has found his groove in Arlington, and he has made life miserable this week for the Milwaukee Brewers. On Monday, he hit his first ever grand slam and had 5 RBIs total. And then last night, Hellman hit a 2-run homer and made a leaping backhanded catch over the fence in left center to rob Bryce Durang as the Rangers beat the Brewers again. This time the score was 5-4. And the Cubs also won. So the Brewers' magic number to clinch a playoff spot remains at 2 to clinch the division 11, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
so. We move on from here. We wrap up the series with a day game today. It'll be Freddie Peralta going for his league-leading 17th win if he were to get it today in Game 3 of the series. The pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, and then a day off tomorrow, and it's back home for a weekend series with the St. Louis Cardinals. So it would be nice to have the Brewers get back to their winning ways, especially this afternoon, but certainly in time for a division series against the Cardinals.
Yeah, it'd be really nice if the Brewers could find a way to hit the ball where people aren't.
Oh my gosh, if they had a habit of that.
Yeah, I don't know how many people have been watching these games instead of just listening on the radio, and I'm sure it comes across on the radio too, but goodness.
Yeah,
they are finding gloves like nobody else.
It's almost like, you know, the reverse method. Like they're like, here are the outfielders, hit the ball to the target.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if or how they would even track this, but if there were a stat for hardest hit balls that were caught directly by the outfielder,
yeah,
that, you know, had they landed just a few feet either side would have gone to the fence.
Yeah.
The Brewers got to be way up there on that.
I would think even infield hit infield too, because there was the first baseman for the Rangers last night had like 3, like, look what I found catches. Like, oh.
Yeah. Yep. It happens. All right. Let's move over to football here, where I just heard this from Mike Clemens and had to confirm it myself. I had to see it to believe it. Christian Watson signing a 1-year deal, an extension for his contract worth $13 million through 2026. He is still recovering from an ACL injury. And then I know he had some other injury before that. So apparently he's supposed to be back later in the season or not. You know, we'll see. The thing is, again, he is clearly a talented receiver, very talented. But I mean, he and Garrett Mitchell for the Brewers. I mean,
even Garrett Mitchell, man.
I mean, those two just cannot stay healthy for as much talent as they have. And it's just it's frustrating for the fans. It's got to be massively frustrating for them.
Okay.
Although for them, they still get these $1 million paychecks. So maybe it is a little bit more frustrating for us.
True.
Because nobody's giving us $1 million for our frustration. But the Packers are on a short week. They're a little banged up. This could make things difficult tomorrow. Yes, I said tomorrow. The Packers kick off week 2 of the football season, hosting the Washington Commanders. Coverage will begin tomorrow at 5 p.m. on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, WAUH in Wautoma. And, of course, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing at Alabama this Saturday. Coverage begins at 9 o'clock Saturday morning on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. All right. Well, when we come back, we will talk about Derek Van Orden and the way he just casually dismissed one of the latest things we've learned about the Epstein Files case. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Have you thanked a farmer today? Wisconsin's nearly 59,000 farms contribute over $116 billion annually to our state's economy and over 350,000 jobs. Please join the University of Wisconsin as we host our 12th annual Celebrate Agriculture game on September 20th against Maryland. Sponsored by Cleary Building Corp, Culver's, Case IH, and Compeer Financial. Thank you to our sponsors for making the Celebrate Agriculture game possible.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Let's go.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. Careers.
I've got some interesting news for you today on this Wednesday morning as we close in on 6:23. We have our new newsletter editor starting today. That's right. Ellie Bordo is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. Born and raised in Oconomowoc and has called Wisconsin home her whole life, and introduces herself in our daily newsletter today. And then, of course, has all the usual great Wisconsin features and news stories, including a note here about Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley announcing that he's running for governor, and he will be joining us at 8:52 this morning. So get to know Ellie by signing up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Courier has outlets in several states, newsletters, podcasts, and more. One of those newsletters by Melissa Ryan is called Control Alt Right Delete. It's a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And in this week's edition, Epstein survivors speak out, and they've got the receipts. Donald Trump's continued efforts to kill the public outrage about the Epstein scandal are not working. It is one of the rare issues that the vast majority of Americans can agree on. Don't obstruct those victims who are seeking justice. These women aren't going away. And the price of ignoring them is the ongoing speculation about just what is it that some powerful men are trying so hard to keep covered up. Read all about it in Control-Alt-Right-Delete from Melissa Ryan. Head over to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. You want an example of that denial? Give a listen to what Congressman Derek Van Orden said. This is a clip from Fox News that somebody grabbed off of Twitter and put the clip up. And he was asked about the newly released birthday card that was made for Jeffrey Epstein many years ago, including a note, a signed note by Donald Trump with essentially a crude drawing of a woman on it. And Derek Van Orden, who is apparently a handwriting expert, had this to say about it.
Well, clearly the birthday note from President Trump is a fallacy. It's just not true. And that's a leftist talking point. It's horrible.
It's a fallacy, and it's a leftist talking point. It's evidence is what that is. He's babbling, and you could see it in the clip. He's babbling. He's struggling. Everybody else who's working so hard to defend Donald Trump is doing this. And, I mean, to call this thing a fake, keep in mind, this particular birthday card, this note, has been seen for years and years and years, long before Donald Trump got into politics. It was out there. So for you to believe it was fake would be a grand conspiracy to go back 20 years and say, let's create this fake note because 20 years later, this guy's going to get elected president. And then we're going to nail him with this. I mean, I don't like using the S word, but this isn't ridiculous. It's stupid. It's stupid to believe and to defend that. Don't knee-jerk defend something like this. You should be asking questions, and you should be saying those questions deserve answers. But Derek Van Orden, like so many other people, Derek is convinced that Donald Trump has control over all just the right people. Why? Well, why wouldn't he believe that? Look how long Trump has lasted, even after being convicted on 34 felonies. The way somebody put it in Twitter world here, when you're in a cult, nothing matters more than protecting the leader. Why? Because your entire sense of self-worth and your entire worldview are predicated on the leader's success. If he goes down, you have nothing left, and that's what makes them so dangerous. Oh, but wait, there's more. Derek Van Orden loves his scrolling and trolling on social media. So it was very interesting that he commented on a post, but not some recent post. Somehow or another, he'd gone back 2 years at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin site and found a post from July 28th of 2023 with a photo of Derek Van Orden on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021. The post from July of 2023 is in the wake of Derek Van Orden harassing those teenage pages at the U.S. Capitol. Remember, late at night as they were in the Capitol Rotunda, and the State Democratic Party post put up the photo of Derek Van Orden from January 6th, saying, "Let's not let anyone forget that Derek Van Orden crossed police lines taking selfies as a violent mob attacked the U.S. Capitol." All right, so again, that post was from July of 2023. But on Monday evening at 8:50 p.m., Derek Van Orden put a comment under that, and the comment read, "Hell yes. Thank you for pointing out that I stand for voter integrity and respect our institutions." To which the Democratic Party of Wisconsin quickly responded to his post with this, saying, "Did you really spend your Monday night scrolling back through over 2 years of Facebook posts to brag about a violent attack on law enforcement and an attempt to overturn the 2020 election?" Because that's exactly what it looks like, that this is somebody who will constantly search for himself on social media, the kind of guy who Googles himself and will go to every platform to see who's writing what about him and then respond to it. And he does that. He's in the comment sections everywhere, taking people down a notch for daring to criticize their member of Congress, who we expect to be better behaved. But when it starts by being on the Capitol grounds as a treasonous mob is around you, well, how could we set our sights much lower? Hey, where else can you find Guns N' Roses and Chuck Berry? Well, that'd be today's history lesson. That's coming up live from the lake after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlung.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Oh, this weather may be ideal for you and I and our afternoon strolls, but I'll tell you what, there are some Wisconsin crops in jeopardy. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Details about one of those crops next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
Amy Aragone, who is the manager of Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus, is struggling with this beautiful weather. She says their early Edelweiss has already been picked, but later grapes are struggling in September because of the lack of heat.
Yeah, we're not happy about it at all. We have five varieties that we grow. We have one variety, Edelweiss, that ripens usually in August, really early every year. The other four, we still need September heat to ripen that fruit. So we are in the phase right now where we're taking sugar readings pretty often, and my sugars are just sitting. They're not moving up at all because I just don't have the heat right now.
Amy Aragone, she is the manager of Bailey's Run Vineyard in New Glarus, and she's struggling with this cool September weather. She says she oversees 6 acres and 3,000 vines. She says the longer the fruit have to remain on those vines, the more damage from things like birds, bees, and disease they could risk. Other crops around Wisconsin doing a little bit better. Those updates next.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The drier weather has allowed Wisconsin farmers to move forward with the corn silage harvest. As of Sunday, about 10% of that crop already harvested. 82% of our corn is called good to excellent. Soybeans have declined a little bit this week, about 81% called good to excellent. But this cooler weather is ideal for our Wisconsin potato crop. Right now, about 40% of our potatoes have already been dug. 89% of that crop called good to excellent. Want more farm news? Pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com and you'll find it there. There's your food news update. I'm PM Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog early, along with a spotty shower or two. Otherwise, you can expect increasing sunshine with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s, sunny and summery on Thursday with a high of 79. Right now, it's 57.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women don't need to vote as long as they have a husband, apparently. Andrew Watkins breaks down the church that says this and the politicians who are influenced by it. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Get ready. Play your eardrums.
Yeah, we know that one. That's Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit, released as a single this day in 1991. And I think I did this to poor Greg last year as well, because everybody loves the way those drums come in so much. Do you mind stopping and starting that one again?
Really?
Can you do it? Yeah, can you do that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know people love the eardrums on this.
I do, yeah. All right, everybody.
One, here we go.
Two, three.
I firmly believe that people would wake up better if they did that first thing in the morning, if that's what your alarm was.
I would have woken up on time, yeah.
You would have, absolutely. So that from Nirvana was released as a single this day in 1991, kicking off today's history lesson. We have an anniversary to celebrate out of Green Bay. Fox 11, WLUK, began broadcasting this day in 1954. So happy 71st birthday to the folks at Fox 11. At least I think they're still called Fox 11. I haven't been
I believe
over
they are.
For a while.
So. May or may not have a friend that works there. Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay. We have a few iconic song intros here, not just Nirvana. It's always a tough one to go whether with that one or Guns N' Roses, but they're on the calendar because they opened up as the opening act for Aerosmith this week in 1988, and they hit number one with this. I didn't want to step on anybody doing air guitar. Today is just basically, it's an air band day.
It's a very fun history lesson.
Yeah. Guitar Hero. Did you play that much?
No, I never did.
It was all the rage?
No.
I didn't. I knew I wouldn't be able to, but I always enjoyed watching other people trying to learn it.
Yes.
Emphasis on trying.
Emphasis on trying, yes. We had a Whitewater, our radio station did a music festival. And one of the things that we did was we had air guitar, like, between bands.
Oh, sure.
And, or not air guitar, Guitar Hero. And people went crazy on that thing. There are people who know how to play.
Oh, no doubt. I will say we did try it once. We were at a house party or something, and somebody had it. And so everybody had to give it a try. So, you know, nothing like making a fool of yourself in front of all of your friends.
But there you go.
We all took a turn, so it's okay. This week in 1991, the Senate Judiciary Committee began hearings on Clarence Thomas's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Bad judgment, 34 years ago this week. Let's see. On this day in 1955, Chuck Berry reached number five on the charts with his very first hit.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do.
So why did Maybelline reach its peak at number five on the charts? Well, let's see. Who had the four spots ahead of him? Pat Boone, again. Mitch Miller, the McGuire sisters, and Tennessee Ernie Ford, who, again, I remind people, played at my high school prom.
What?
I've told you that story. Tennessee Ernie Ford and Florence Henderson were the entertainment at our high school prom.
That's crazy. You had someone notable at your prom. Wow.
They weren't really at our prom. Our prom was at the old Carlton Celebrity Dinner Theater, and we were in one of the other rooms. But you had to come into the dinner theater to get your dinner, and sit there and eat your dinner, watching Florence Henderson and Tennessee Ernie Ford sing old songs. And then you go back down the hall, and we had some kind of a punk band or something for our actual prom.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
It makes much more sense now. Yes. Happy birthday to Jose Feliciano. You know him for the Christmas classic Feliz Navidad, but he had plenty of other hits in his years. He turns 80 years old today. This is just another great intro.
I don't think I've ever heard this. This is really good.
I suppose you might have only heard the Doors singing Light My Fire, but give a listen as he picks this up.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
Just a really nice hit from Jose Feliciano, who turns 80 years old today. Aerosmith's lead guitarist, Joe Perry, today is his 75th birthday. I wonder if he can still play, you know, the way that he has all these years. Because, you know, like I said, I was watching the band Chicago. Now, they were all playing their horns and keyboards as well as they ever did. So I haven't heard Joe Perry lately, so I can say that with any certainty. Actor Colin Firth is 65 years old today. All right, let's get to 1966. I got the number one album and the number one single from this day 59 years ago. The number one album was Revolver from the Beatles. Another iconic intro. I mean, if you're going to highlight Revolver, where do you go? You got Eleanor Rigby. You've got Taxman. You've got Here, There, and Everywhere. You've got Good Day, Sunshine. You've got to Get You Into My Life. It's just definitely my favorite Beatles album.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones.
Although that's saying something, because there were a lot of good ones on either side of that as well.
Awesome.
But Revolver was the number one album this week in 1966. The number one single was by The Supremes, where it would stay number one on the singles chart for 2 weeks. Another big intro. I need love. I mean, we could have condensed this entire segment into like 90 seconds just by playing those intros.
Pretty
all back
much.
To back to back.
Yeah. What I'm hearing, Pat, is that to make this show really like award-winning material that went sweeps everything is we just need a better intro. We need an iconic intro.
We need an iconic intro?
Yeah. Okay. Right? So that's what I'm hearing right. from this.
We'll get to work on that. I actually might have one. I've been saving this for a while. There is a band based out of Eau Claire called the Jaggernauts.
Yeah.
I knew of them, but not much. And I thought the band had broken up. It turns out that years and years ago, on one of their albums is a song, and the title of the song is simply Kreitlow.
Yeah.
And it's got a great intro. The lyrics are a little dark, as are many things from the band. And I've never really found out why they gave it that name. Were they knocking me for some reason? Because I think I was still doing TV at the time, or what?
Dude.
And one of these days, I'm going to ask for their permission to use that for the show intro.
I was going to say, do we have form of contact for them? Because I would love to get that
well,
on.
Like
the,
I said,
it would be
I
awesome to bring them on the show.
They just got back together, and I think they're going to be playing in Madison this week.
Really?
Yeah, they played in Eau Claire last Friday at the Mousetrap. So they do still get back together. So let's, if they come down to Madison, somebody ask them. if the song would work or not. Hey, Melissa Kay is here from WFHR, WIRI in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids, looking wonderful in a colorful shirt and a nice little, what kind of cap do we call those?
Page boy? I don't know.
Page boy, engineer's cap, whatever. Very nice. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm here. I'm here. Yes. Hello.
Well, it
Okay.
Nice. See, you sound like Parker, who woke up really late today and got in just under the wire. So we totally understand. How are things in Rapids this week?
They're good.
Okay. I know we've got some new faces at Civic Media. I'm sure you're busy getting to know them, train them, things like that.
Yes, we have a new reporter in our Wausau station, which is right next door to us, Isabella Nieto.
Okay. It'll be good to welcome her. And I know there's at least one other new reporter.
Yes, Connie in Green Bay. I don't know her last name yet.
Gotcha. It'll keep somebody busy. That's for sure. All right. Back to the history lesson here. On this day in 1953, Swanson sold its first TV dinner, a turkey meal with cornbread, dressing, peas, and sweet potatoes. Now, there are a lot of frozen dinners out there nowadays. I mean, there's no shortage of things. But the original TV dinner in the foil packaging, that had to have come and gone by the time. I mean, have either one of you had like an old school TV dinner?
Yes.
Oh, you have.
It was like a special treat.
Oh, yes.
We only got them like once in a really great while, because they were far more expensive than
they were,
you know, making in your own food.
Wait, they were good?
They used to be.
They were. Yeah. I can't vouch for them nowadays, but you know, you would, as a kid, you'd only get turkey on Thanksgiving. And so to get this sliced turkey in gravy. Or, of course, there was the Salisbury steak, which I'm
sure. Salisbury steak was my favorite.
I'm still not sure what makes it Salisbury. I've never looked into what exactly is it that makes.
That's where they made it. Meat.
Yeah, I guess. anyway, so the TV dinners were kind of a big deal for the baby boomers, as they were all watching their TV and wanted to eat in front of the TV. So, again, that dates back to 1953.
Yeah. That was much less food then.
Yes, Alex Trebek hosted the first episode of Jeopardy as a syndicated game show on this day in 1984. Wow. And I knew Alex Trebek at that point had been a game show host on multiple different game shows, but within years there were basically only two game shows left, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and he had one of them there. And let's see, we've got another TV debut. This one, a show that debuted on NBC this day in 1990, 35 years ago today.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
There you go. Apparently he was just playing some basketball in West Philadelphia, born and raised. Were you, either one of you, viewers of the Fresh Prince back in the day?
I got to see it a little bit, but we weren't really allowed to watch TV, so.
Yes, I know that really has gotten in the way of, you know, us bouncing cultural references off of each other.
And I know.
That was Parker, just pre-me a little. Yeah.
Yeah, the show predates you, so I don't know if you've ever seen reruns of it or anything like that.
No, I watched a bit of Will Full Smith. House, but not Fresh Prince. Okay. No.
Gotcha. Okay. So did either one of you see like the more dramatic, darker version that came out? What was it, a year or two ago on Netflix? Was it?
Oh no!
I heard it. No, I didn't see it though.
Yeah, kind of like. Quite dark and dramatic. Kind of like what Riverdale did to the Archie comics. But anyway, let's check in with everybody's favorite pigeon. How's Lilu doing this week?
Well, you know, we had a disrupted night, hence the hat. But not their fault. I'm still fighting with a bed that I cut in half with a bread knife. So.
Oh.
I didn't tell you that story.
No. And you got all the 20 seconds. What can you tell us?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when you have a foam mattress that's just too squishy, you have to make it a little squishy. So you cut in half with a bread knife.
That's a DIY hack I did not know about. And
okay.
We will definitely explore that another time. Melissa Kay, you can catch her on WFHR out of Wisconsin Rapids. Listen through the Civic Media app. Melissa, thank you so much. Good to see you.
You too.
All right. Have a great day. Let's pause here. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk about transparency for taxpayers on voucher schools. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
My kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
Okay.
connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Talking about the Lions for Kids Christmas, and joining us members of the Ithaca Lions, Dean Reinhardt and Deb O'Connell. Dean, it seems like you guys were just here talking about this, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I was here a little while ago, talked about Stuff the Bus, which turned out to be an awesome day. But yeah, it seems to pop around here earlier every year.
It does. Well, let's kind of recap the summer for the Ithaca Lions then. Stuff the Bus was successful then?
It was a very successful day. We got a lot of donations, a lot of cash donations. Just want to thank the community for being so supportive on that and really helped out the school. So, and thank the school for bringing the bus. And they unloaded everything. That was the best part of it.
So, oh, sure.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Great support from the community. And then have you been having some brat stands lately?
We haven't yet. We're going to start this weekend for the Lions for Kids Christmas. It's going to be at Oakwood Fruit Farm Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 2. So hopefully everybody comes out. That is an awesome place to have a brat stand. They do such good work. They got the little barn we sell out of, and it is just so handy up there. And amazing how many people go through that place in a day.
I was going to say, you probably don't get bored there, do you?
Oh, no. No.
Keep working.
Keep working. Keep watching. And all the places the license plates are from that come to Oakwood, and everybody's, oh, brats, I love brats, so we got to have a brat. And So, yeah, we'll be there. We'll be busy.
It's a great fundraiser for Lions for Kids. Let's talk a little bit about the history of this and the original focus of it, Dean.
The original name, well, way back when, it started out as Toys for Tots. And then we run into a little copyright deal. Well, then we had a contest. We were with the Ombres Motorcycle Club. And then it got changed to Smiles for a Child. And we ran that for, I think it was 30-some years, that Marilyn Gilligan ran that. And the Ombres and the Lions got together. And they started losing help. And so we kind of took over. And Marilyn decided after 30-some years it was time to retire, so the Lions Club decided it was too good a thing to give up, so we're going to do it on our own, and we did change the name to Lions for Kids Christmas. So it's going to be run pretty much all the same. Deb O'Connell took over, and she's doing an awesome job, even though she doesn't think so, but yeah.
We'll give her some time. How are you doing, Deb?
Good morning, Phil.
Good to have you in here to
Thanks.
Talk about this. And you're on, no accident that you're on this early. You want people to start thinking about it.
I do, because there's just so much involved to get the program going. And I want, you know, Julie's event is coming up already in October, so her reindeer event is coming on November 9th from 1 to 3. Her typical at her business where she has reindeer and she has popcorn and cocoa, so she'll have flyers out, so she wanted me to push that as well. But we started our brat stand this weekend, and actually we do it all year long. You know, people, businesses have donated funds for us as well, so to make this a successful program. But there's a lot involved with it, and so I do want the information out early that we're starting as well.
People can donate money and then eventually some new toys too, correct?
Yes. So Julie's event, you know, you can bring a toy for that. We have the car dealerships have often had places where you can donate toys, and that's been very successful. Brings in a lot of toys for children. As well as we have barrels in Richland County Bank, WCCU, and Community Bank. The barrel isn't at Community Bank. They just take the tags of items that children want and they put it on their Christmas tree. But for those who want to be a little bit more individualized, pick out something specific for a child, that's what those are for, versus just donating the toys and money generically, and then we pick and fill those bags for those children. So that's coming quicker than you think.
It sure is. When can we expect the barrels to be out then, Deb?
Sometime in November. So the tags, I'll put out the applications. I put a date here, just a second. November 5th, which is a Wednesday, up until the day before Thanksgiving. I want to end at Thanksgiving time because I found that a lot of people put on items that are on sale. They kind of look at those flyers, and if I don't get those items when they're on sale, then they've really gone up in price. So November 26th, applications need to be back in. So sometime in November, as soon as the applications I have enough, they'll put the barrels out. And hopefully we can put a little snippet on the radio so people will know that they're there.
You sure can. What about the applications? Where do people find those at?
Sure. They're at Health and Human Services. And the date I said will be November 5th. I'll have them available. They are written in both English and Spanish. One side is English, the other side is Spanish, to make it easier. People can, you know, families who want items or want children on the program, just stop off and pick up those applications, one per child. But they don't have to be the person, you know, if they're working, if they're not available during the office hours, they can send in a family member to pick up applications for them, as well as drop them off for them. And then I go and pick those applications up, and I'm the only one who really sees them. We put them in an envelope, and I'm the one who collects them.
How do you decipher if a child asks for, you know, like a really expensive toy, you know, that's really not in the cards? How do you deal with something like that?
Well, we do have a amount that we provide per child. So something that's really out of line, we probably can't get. You know, somebody's asking for a $100 item. That's probably not going to happen. But if I can find sales, I'll look for those. Also, as well as, you know, if it's an item that maybe is close to, but not the brand name that they want, but will you know, getting good results as far as being able to do that as well. So I kind of shop a lot for the sales. I really look at the flyers, and Walmart is very good at helping us out as well.
And you can shop online too.
Absolutely.
If it isn't there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of online comparison to try to make sure that the child can get the best item that they want.
That's probably one of the fun parts of it, isn't it?
It is fun, but last year I got 100 applications in the day before Thanksgiving, and a lot of them were things that were being offered over the holiday weekend, and I really scrapped. I really looked, and then I had this whole item to purchase online.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Polish and NATO air defense is scrambling overnight as it appears Russia sent drones into Poland's airspace. They were shot down with the help of NATO forces. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio says many European leaders think it's Russia's attempt at escalating the war in Ukraine. At the foreign desk, here's ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge.
Top officials here in Europe calling this the biggest violation of NATO airspace by Russia since the war in Ukraine began. And for the first time, Poland, the key NATO ally of the US, shooting down Russian drones breaching its airspace, calling some of those drones a direct threat.
Israel is condemning the comments made by the president of the European Commission earlier today about suspending all payments to Israel over the country's conduct in Gaza, describing them as regrettable. Hamas says only low-level leaders were killed in Israel's targeted attack on Hamas headquarters in Doha. And a federal court ruling Fed Governor Lisa Cook can remain in her position while she fights President Trump's firings. This is ABC News.